You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hello, hello. This is CITR 101.9 FM, and you are listening to Fan Club. Amazing. That was really good.
That was from our soundboard that we just got.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I haven't been on air in a long time, even though it's just been only a week, but like 2 weeks since I've been in studio.
Yeah, you weren't in person.
The darn snow.
Yeah, the darn snow.
The snow got me.
You're back.
Yes, I am back. Sorry. That's okay. If you haven't listened before, this is Isia and Daniel's show. I'm Isia.
I am Daniel.
And we talk about media, pop culture, how it interacts, everything that relates. And that's what we do every week, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. And this week, since it's that time of the year where, you know, everyone's a little tired, a little brain dead, a little low vibrational.
Vibrations are an all-time low right now.
We wanted to do a winter review and a spring preview. Daniel came up with those names. Very good.
Off the top of my head. It's off the dome.
Astounding.
Thank you.
Of all the content that we've been enjoying and all the things that we're looking forward to that are coming out in the future. And we thought it would be a good idea to start off with a movie that I just saw last night. And Daniel, when did you see this movie?
I saw it I'm struggling to remember. Whenever it came out in theaters, which I think would have been maybe sometime in November. And it was only showing at one theater in Vancouver at the time, which I want to say was Cineplex, Odeon International Village. So we saw it in, I want to say October.
Okay. You're on it. You're early to the...
I was on it, yeah. Because I don't know. I have really wanted to like Martin McDonagh's movies. And I've seen, his three previous ones. I think I've seen all three of his previous
ones. We're talking about Banshees of Inisherin, by the way.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Did we not?
The movie. Yeah. I forgot.
Yeah, Banshees of Inisherin.
Yeah.
And I have been wanting to like a lot of his movies because I know they're, it's when you watch a movie and you're I know this is good, but it's just not fully connecting with me. And so In Bruges, Seven Psychopaths, and Three Billboards, I'd watched all three and I was I know these are the things that make a movie good, but I don't know. So I was let me give Martin McDonagh another try and went and saw Banshees. And you saw it yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've the only movie I've seen of his previously was Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. And I feel like I liked it. I watched it in high school, so I don't know. There's not a lot of critical thought going through my brain, but I was I don't know, seemed serious, seemed good, I guess.
When Frances McDormand kicks that one girl in the crotch. I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, she was really good in that.
Yeah.
I think she won the Oscar for that movie as well. And I really like Caleb Landry Jones. I think his biggest role is probably playing the creepy brother in Get Out. He's in this really strange Brandon Cronenberg movie also that I tried to watch once and freaked me out and confused me, so I didn't finish it. I think it was called Antiviral. And I feel like he hasn't been around enough. And Billboards was the last time I saw him in anything. But I digress. Banshees.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I thought it was really, really good. It stressed me out a lot. It made me laugh a lot. It made me cry maybe twice.
Should we tell the people what it's about for those who may not
be
aware?
That would be a good idea. Do you want to give a summary?
Okay, you should definitely fill in any gaps I have, which are probably a lot because I saw it a while ago. But essentially, it follows two middle-aged-ish.
Yeah, one middle-aged and one older man.
Yeah.
One's younger than the other.
Yeah, Colin Farrell is a little younger, and he plays the friend of Brendan Gleeson's character. I think their names are Padriac and...
Colm. It's
Colm.
And they say, I think it's... They say, Paddock. They don't really say the D, because Irish names are spelt...
P and C.
Uniquely. It's Paddock. Like, they don't... I can't. Trying to do two the name pals. Justice. Two pals.
And they're living in, like, this fictional, like, Irish Isle of Inisherin.
It's fictional? It's not a real place?
I think
place?
It's fictional, yeah.
Oh.
I am also on the Wikipedia page right now, which is helping me out. And it's, like, on the tail end of the Civil War. And essentially, they're two friends that, like, at 2 p.m. every day or something like that, they go to, like, this pub. And then
the pub, the only
the pub,
pub, probably.
Yeah,
on the
literally
island.
The only pub on this small island. And then so, like, Colin Farrell, absolute king, like, sweatered up, looking cozy. He, like, goes to his friends and he's like, hey, let's go to the pub. And he's like, oh, I'm not going. I, like, don't want to be your friend anymore. Like, I think he says, like, some, I mean, you saw it more recently than me, but he's very, like, I no longer want to be your friend. Like, I no longer want to be associated with you. Just kind of out of the blue. And Colin Farrell's character cannot, like, fathom this.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if your best friend all of a sudden is just one day, like, I don't want to be your friend, and I will not explain myself. And this ritual that we do every single day, I will no longer be doing with you.
Yeah. And imagine this in the context of a small Irish town in the 1920s where, like, your community is very small and, like...
You'll see each other even if you weren't friends.
Yeah, you see each other everywhere, and that's like a massive... I mean, obviously losing your best friend in any context would be a massive loss, but it's like there's only like 10 people, like 10
yeah.
people in the social circle.
There's not a lot.
Yeah, so it's basically like he has his best friend, Colm. He has his sister.
I love
and
the sister.
That's, yeah, she
Siobhan.
Was great. Siobhan was a great character,
yeah.
And the actress was really awesome in it.
Yeah,
Carrie Condon.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the story just follows this ending of a friendship and kind of the lengths that Colm is going to avoid Peric. And
yeah.
Peric's just a complete inability to accept the end of this friendship and kind of how intense it gets, which was way more intense than I was expecting.
Yeah. And darker.
And darker and gorier and but also funnier than I was expecting. It was just like more extreme in all the angles that it could be, which is always a nice surprise. I thought it would just be like a slow and beautiful meditation on friendship as you get older or something. But it was like a lot more like psychological.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm glad you liked it also, just because for those listening, like yesterday, Isia and I were talking, and she was like, this was before she had seen Banshees of Inisherin, and she was like, oh, Banshees of Inisherin is going to win Best Picture way better than like all the other ones, blah, 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 blah. Had not seen the film.
I didn't say
so
it
I'm
like that.
Okay.
I did not say it like that. I said, I want Banshees to win, even though I haven't seen the movie.
That's fair. The aesthetic of the movie is great, but... My question to you is, like, what did you like most about the movie? What was your main takeaway?
Okay. I need to formulate my brain. No, you're good, you're good. I think that the movie was just... Okay, it was beautiful. It was very beautifully
shot. Yeah.
This town, it was just, like, the characters were all... Like, some of them were such cliches in a certain way, but, like, it worked so well. Like, there was, like, the town mysterious old lady who's, like, the witch of the town who just kind of walks around and is, like...
Is she the banshee? Like, that's what a banshee is, right?
Yeah, banshee is, like, a female spirit that, does stuff. I don't know. But, yeah, I guess she's, like, the banshee. But she's just a weird old woman. They have, like, the nosy... kind of nosy neighbor, nosy shop owner character. And we have this, I don't know if the sister's supposed to be older than him, but she definitely is like taking care of him.
Yeah, she seems a little bit more mature.
At the least. And she has to choose between, you know, staying and taking care of her brother or like moving on in her life and kind of doing more like she can.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it was just really entertaining and... really stressed me out. Maybe we can name, should we say what happens?
Yeah, give spoiler alert. Maybe fast forward or stop and go watch it for those listening who don't want to have it spoiled. But yeah, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. What happens? Basically, so Colm is like, leave me alone, because Parrick won't leave him alone. He's like, leave me alone or else I'm going to cut off my fingers one by one and give them to you, which is insane in and of itself, but extra crazy when you consider that Colm's whole passion is playing the fiddle. And part of the reason that he dumps his friend is because he wants to focus on his art, because his art will live on way further than, you know, his dull conversations with his old friend could. And he's like, I'm going to cut off my fiddling fingers. And the whole time you're like, that's crazy. He's not going to do it. And he does it. He cuts off his index finger and throws it.
At the door.
At his ex-friend's door. And it was like, and for the rest of the movie, and then spoiler alert, later he cuts up all his fingers. And for the rest of the movie, he's just walking around with nubs.
Like a, yeah.
With and it bony looks so realistic. Nubs. Just bleeding. He doesn't wrap it up, nothing. Just bleeding all over the town. And it's
he's
like,
a hardcore man.
Honestly, like, even though there's movies I've seen with much more gore and, like, obvious violence in them, that's, like, one of the most disturbing, I don't know.
It was really gross. What did you like the most about the movie?
I really liked Colin's performance. He was just so...
sad.
He was just so sad, and, like, I just liked that his character was this, like, dull, supposedly sweet man.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole thing is like, I'm nice and you're not being nice. And like, that's the whole like axis that he has the world surrounds. And then slowly through the film, it's like, that's being put into question, you know?
Yeah.
And Barry Keoghan's character is like, maybe you're not as nice as I thought you were. And like, he starts to do more and more questionable things. And is kind of, and I thought it was his relationship with his sister was really interesting because she's kind of the most... she's the person in his life who, like, cares most about him and, like, seems to take the care of him the most, but he doesn't really appreciate her as much as he should.
Yeah.
You know?
Until she's gone.
Until she goes to the mainland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked Colin's performance as well. I just feel like every time you, like, looked at his face, like, his
eyebrows.
Face. Yeah, his eyebrows. And, like, his eyes, you were just like, oh, like, this guy's, like, going through it because his life is, like, so simple. And one of the cornerstones of his life has now been, like, taken away from him. And there's, like, nothing he can do about it. And I feel like the part I love the most about the movie is there's, like, this little monologue that he does, which I guarantee you is, like, the clip they're going to show, like, during the Oscars.
When he's drunk in the
bar? Yeah, and he's, like... I can't remember it word for word, but when Colm, the guy that like stops being Colin's friend, is like, no one's going to remember you. No one remembered your parents, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I remembered like my mom because she was really nice. And I remembered my dad because she was really nice. And I'm going to remember you because we had all these nice conversations. And I was like, this is so sad, but also like so sweet at the same time. Because like when you think about it, I feel like there's a lot of friendships or just like a lot of relationships where they're not like the most like monumental thing ever in terms of like, I don't know, you're just like hanging out with your friends. You're not like curing cancer or something. But like those like small moments are like memories that are immortalized in our lives. So I found it like very sad that Colin's character was trying or like pleading for like Brendan Gleeson's character to like hold on to that. And Brendan Gleeson has kind of, like, pushed him to the side because he's like, no, like, that's not good enough for me. I need to be, like, remembered and respected for my art.
Which is also, like, you live on a tiny island.
And he's not
like,
even good. He's not even that good.
You're not, I don't know. I don't know how far your music is going to live on in the world, you know?
They didn't even have CDs or whatever. Like, how's he even gonna get the music to the people?
Yeah, and he's like, he's in love with Parrick, right?
Isn't who?
Colm? Is that?
Oh, was it supposed to be like a gay thing?
A gay thing?
I did not even pick up on that.
Well, I thought because he talks to the priest in confession, and the priest is like, "I heard you've been having impure thoughts." And he's like, "Does it have something to do with you dropping Parrick and not wanting to be his friend anymore?"
Oh,
but it never really comes up again.
We need to do an episode where you just explain subtextual moments in films
it
to me, because I've been
subtext.
Missing
there was a
lot. I did not pick up on that at all. Wow.
It kind of explains everything, you know? It's just like complete inability to be around this man. Because outside of that, it doesn't really make sense. And that's kind of why it drives this friendship into like insanity, where one of them's cutting his fingers off and throwing them at the other guy, and the other guy sets his house on fire.
Yeah.
And like burns all his possessions. It's like, I don't know, the ending was crazy. When it seems like Colm's like, well, I guess we're even, and is like, seems kind of ready to maybe talk again, but Peric is like, we're done.
Yeah. I read like a comment on social media somewhere, and the person that commented was like talking about like parallels between like Peric and Colm's like relationship and like the Irish Civil War, I guess, and how it was like all founded off of like misunderstanding and just like not communicating well. But then it got to the point where it's like, okay, I guess we can't like back down from this now, which I guess kind of like parallels like Colm's and Peric's relationship. But what did you think it had to say about masculinity and all that?
That's a big question.
I also feel like I cut you off, so you don't have to answer it.
It's okay. I was just gonna say, to your Civil War thing, like, yeah, even at the end when Colm's like, I'm sure the Civil War is over soon, like they'll figure it out, and Peric's like, no, it'll never really be over.
Yeah.
And like, that's,
he was spitting.
That's
his
cue to be like, this is never gonna, our conflict is like forever now.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was like he's like his part, like they're like life partners, you know? I don't know, that's what it seemed like the relationship was before it all came to an end. And it is really, it's just really tragic. I don't know. The end, Peric has not, his donkey died. His sister's gone.
Jenny, I was actually so
Jenny.
Upset.
I think I cried.
I was really sad.
I was like, what?
Like the most beautiful donkey.
So
there's
cute.
A Jenny fan cam out there. And if there isn't, I will make one.
Yeah, everyone's gone by the end. And it's so upsetting. Even like Barry Keoghan's character passes. What's his name? Dominic.
Dominic, yeah.
So like literally, everyone's gone, and he's just left alone on this tiny island.
So sad. But it's really good. That was like the one Martin McDonagh movie I was like, okay, I get it. Like, this is so fantastic.
It really was good.
Yeah.
I think we should play some ads and PSAs.
Let's do that.
And then come back and talk about some other things.
Great segue.
Are you looking for a mind-melting, jumping show to go to? Show Me the Body is a noise music, sludge metal, genre-bending band that puts on exhilarating shows, and they're coming to Vancouver's Rickshaw Theater on March 8th. For more information and to get tickets, go to rickshawtheater.com.
This March 6th to March 10th, vote yes for the Bite Kitchen in the AMS referendum. Since 1998, the Bite Kitchen has enabled UBC students to access affordable transportation and inclusive programming. However, operations have been seriously impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, leaving our organization in a difficult financial position. From March 6th to March 10th, UBC students will be able to vote yes to support a $3 fee increase for the Bite Kitchen. Having this stable source of funding will allow us to create a new program where we would provide bicycles to BIPOC students, expand our offerings to the LGBTQ+ community, bring back educational classes, provide more support for wheelchair users, and continue providing bicycle repair services at an accessible price point. Getting more people on bicycles means less traffic by having less cars on the road, as well as more seats available on buses. Whether or not you're a cyclist, support for a crucial UBC resource will mean a healthier, happier, and safer student body. Vote yes on the referendum to directly support a more sustainable future, not just for UBC students, but for our community at large.
Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Fan Club, and we are currently doing our winter review. And we're going to combine this segment with a brand new weekly segment we're going to be introducing, where Daniel and I each play our song of the week and talk about why we love it so much. It can be new, it can be old. Just has to be something that we are particularly into at the moment. And Daniel, I heard you've been enjoying the Kali Uchis record.
I have been. I'm surprised you, I would have been surprised if you haven't heard it, because I feel like I've just been like promoting Kali Uchis album through a megaphone all throughout the station. But yeah, Kali Uchis dropped her, I want to say like third studio album last week called Red Moon in Venus. I've always like kind of been a Kali Uchis fan. Like I really liked Isolation. Like it's one of the best like debut albums I've ever heard. And I got to see her open for Tyler the Creator around this time last year. And she was just an amazing performer. And I remember being surrounded by like thousands of people, and I was with my friends, and I was like, oh my God, like Kali Uchis is a star. Like she's gonna be a star. Well, she is a star. And then this album came out, and there were like two singles that kind of had dropped earlier, like I Wish You Roses and Moonlight. And I was like whelmed by them. Like I liked them, but I was whelmed. Like I was like, I wasn't disappointed, but I wasn't like impressed. I was kind of like, oh, these are just like solid songs. And then when this album came out, I listened to it and it just like blew me away. Like I would say it's probably not as like ambitious as like Isolation or even the album that came after that that's like fully in Spanish, like Sin Miedo, if I'm saying that probably not correctly, but it's just so like cohesive. It's produced so well, like the bass lines are so slinky and her voice is just like so good on it and like elastic and stretches in all these different ways. And I really like it, and I feel like her lyrics on this also are very just like blunt, and because of that I feel like they're very memorable, at least to me, and like very like easy to remember and quote and like sing along with. And then I feel like if we didn't talk about it on this show, maybe we talked about it on like Chart Show or something, but I feel like for me, when I listen to music, the first thing that like comes that like I grab onto when I'm like listening to a song or an album or whatever is the melodies. And I feel like the melodies in this album are so good. It's like literally made listening to this album like a little addictive. Like I don't think I haven't listened to a song from this album like since it came out, which was like 4 or 5 days ago. And I guess I can introduce the song
that was very high praise. That was a great description.
Yeah, I love
why
it.
You love the record. Awesome. What's the song you want to play?
The song I want to play is called Endlessly. It's produced by Darkchild, and if anyone knows who Darkchild is, he's like a legendary like R&B producer. He's produced for Destiny's Child, he's produced for Michael Jackson.
Damn.
He produced Shirt by SZA. Just like an amazing, insane producer, and I feel like his production style fits Kali Uchis' voice like so nicely. And then just the melodies and everything about this. I feel like this song is like the song I would show someone to get them to like listen to the full album, because it just gives a good sense of like Kali's ear for like good production, Kali's ear for melodies, her voice. Yeah, this is Endlessly.
Awesome.
Love.
Hello, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Fan Club with Icia and Daniel, and you just heard Daniel's favorite song of the week, Endlessly, by Kali Uchis off of her latest record, Red Moon and Venus, which if you just tuned in now, Daniel is completely obsessed with and recommends that everyone listens to immediately.
Demands
that everyone listens to. Another thing that I wanted to talk about in my winter review that kind of got me through winter was a little TV show called Stath Let's Flat, which doesn't sound like a English sentence, but it is in fact super English.
Really funny. That's really good. Sorry.
It's okay. Let's is like rent. Like in England, they say letting a flat instead of renting an apartment. So it translates to Stath rents apartments for all those North American people out there. And it basically follows the main character, Stath, who's a Greek English man who works at his dad's business, which is a letting agency. Kind of follows him and all his goofs as he tries to, you know, rent flats to some people and miserably fails consistently because he is a human baby. And it is very stupid and is very funny. And it makes me laugh a lot.
Do you have a favorite episode?
Oh, that's a big question. There's one episode where they go and have a football tournament.
That was a really good British accent.
Was it? I don't know. I don't know why I did that.
I think you should talk in that for the rest of the show.
I don't know.
Okay, that's fair.
But yeah, he's just so incredibly bad at football, and it's so stupid. He tries so hard, and he just can't. His body doesn't move. And the star and creator of the show is Jamie Dimitriou, who people may know from Fleabag. He plays the guy with the teeth. Is the best way to describe him. Okay. He's also in Lovesick. He plays one of the main characters. Like co-workers, he has a smaller role, but he's always really, really funny in every single thing I see him in. So that was kind of my reason that I started watching the show, and he lived up to expectations, and he was hilarious. So I just wanted to plug that show. It's on CBC Gem. If you make an account, you can watch it for free and ad-free. So,
would you say the show's more like physical comedy or like comedy in the dialogue, or is it like a mix of both? Like, what's the funniest aspect of the show to you?
How
would you describe the humor?
There's a lot of physical comedy involved. One of the things I find the funniest about it is just kind of they're like the way they talk because they are they have English accents, but they're also Greek, so they randomly like roll their R's. and it's him and his sister are just it's very cute. They love each other very much, and they're very supportive of each other, and they're both just like very daft. I don't know how else to describe it.
Like goofy.
Like she's like wants to be a dancer and she goes to dance school, and it's really hard to describe, but like they'll be like, oh, I don't have time for the drama, and they'll like roll all the R's. Just the way they talk, and like it just makes me laugh so much. Like it's so hard I do an impression of him very often at home when I'm alone or with my partner because we are obsessed with him. But
as you should.
You'd have to pay me a lot of money to do that live on air because it's deeply embarrassing.
Fair.
Just the way he talks is like so funny. And it's great. He's obsessed with energy drinks.
I was telling Isia that show, based on the premise and the comedy you've described, reminds me a lot of like two shows that I've been watching recently, which are Detroiters and Broad City.
Great shows.
And I feel like at their core, they're both essentially, like Detroiters and Broad City are essentially like the same exact show, but just with like different elements like switched in. Like Detroiters is Tim Robinson from I Think You Should Leave and Sam Richardson, who plays like the assistant on Veep, and they just play like two like ads men, if that's a word. Like they make ads for like small businesses in Detroit, and it just follows them like either failing miserably or succeeding hilariously at those things. And then Broad City, I don't know. Have you seen Broad City?
Yeah, I've seen all of Broad
City. I don't even know how I would describe
Broad City. It's just two gals in New York.
Yeah.
One's a little more quirky, one's a little more anxious, and they get up, they get into shenanigans.
They get up to no good.
I think my favorite episode, not my favorite episode of Broad City, but one part of it that made me laugh a lot was when I think Alana starts a business, like a WeWork parody called SheWork that's just on the side of the road outside. And she's like, you can come do your work and smoke cigarettes at the same time.
Queen.
It's very silly. But yeah. Or the episode where they do substances and try to go to the Lil Wayne concert.
Is that like episode one? Or?
No, I don't think so. It's like they never make it to the Lil Wayne concert, but they really try.
I've only seen like, I'm like midway through season two right now.
Okay.
But I think you're right. Episode one is them trying to like obtain Lil Wayne tickets.
Okay, yeah. I guess it is. Yeah. I love that episode. Great intro. Great pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you want to talk about any of the other shows you've been watching or movies?
I'll talk very briefly about The Last of Us. I have been watching that and I've never played the game, so it's really been interesting to like talk to my friends who have like played the game and are also watching the show. And honestly, The Last of Us only really comes to mind because the most latest episode was on Sunday, but that show is like very dark and depressing and sad, and I'm always like not in a good mood after I watch it, but it's very well made. And I mean, I would assume most people listening know what The Last of Us is, but it essentially follows like a post-apocalyptic world after it's been taken over by zombies. They're not zombies, they're like zombies is probably what like someone who's really into the show would correct me by saying. And they're like
mushrooms.
Yeah, they're like cordyceps or whatever, like some kind of like fungal infected anti-alt human, whatever. And it just follows this like surrogate, like father-daughter like relationship and how it blossoms, but it's also very like dark and violent and sad. And one thing that's been like interesting watching it is that it's shot in, or at least a lot of it is shot in like Calgary, where I grew up before I came to UBC. So it'll be weird where there's this like super dramatic scene taking place in what's supposed to be like an abandoned carnival. And I'm like, oh my God, I've eaten at that like Thai Express. So that like takes me out of it a little bit, but
that's funny.
It's still really fun. And it's like a really well-made TV show. But that's the other thing I've been enjoying. And I saw Cocaine Bear like a week or so ago. I don't really have much to say about that. It was like exactly what I was expecting it to be. But
what happens to the bear? Like, how does it end? I'm never gonna watch this movie. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert for those who haven't seen Cocaine Bear. Essentially, like, instead of in the true story where the bear just immediately died, the bear like develops an addiction to cocaine in the movie. So like the cocaine makes the bear like super aggressive, and then he's also, or she is also, on the hunt for more cocaine. And then, in kind of like a twist, we learn that the bear is a mother. So she has two little cocaine bears who also like do some of the cocaine. And then it ends up being like somehow like the bear ends up being like the hero of the story.
Oh.
Because there's like like Ray Liotta and his goons like want to take the cocaine for their own personal gain. And then Cocaine Bear is just trying to like do cocaine and care for her children. So we end up
let
like weirdly
her live.
Let her live. Like she's literally a mother in that. So we end up rooting for
the
bear, the Cocaine Bear. Yeah.
Will we ever say cocaine that many times on our show ever again? Probably not.
I mean, Succession is coming out soon.
True.
So we'll see.
Succession. Yeah. Well, we're definitely going to talk a bit more about Succession after the break when we get into our spring preview section where we talk about things that we are excited about that are coming out soon. But for that, I'm going to play some ads.
Hi there. You're listening to CADR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus, located on the unceded, ancestral, and traditional lands of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
Crimes and Treasons Radio, this is Riff Raff. Every Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. on 101.9 FM.
Yes, yes, you and I rocking with the best, 101.9 CITR Radio. Crimes and Treasons, this is your boy Just Blaze. Right now you're rocking with Jules Andre Brown, Rolly Rells, Jamal Steels, and Horsepower. You know what it is, right?
Yo, it's Iron Sue, man. I want to shout out Crimes and Treasons Radio, man. CITR 101.9, man. Turn up, turn up, turn up.
Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Fan Club with Isia and Daniel. Before we get into our spring preview section where we talk about things that we are super excited about, I wanted to play my song of the week, which is not new. In fact, it is quite old. The song came out in 1980. It's by the B-52s, who I feel like their most popular song is probably Love Shack. But I recently heard this song, Give Me Back My Man, and I thought it was so good. I'm like, wow, what a hit. She has such range. It's just so good.
Is her man returned?
I don't know. She offers fish, she offers candy, but I don't know if she's getting back her man.
Okay.
And I guess we'll never know. Maybe we'll know if we listen to more of her songs. I don't know. But yeah, this is Give Me Back My Man by the B-52s off of their album Wild Planet.
Thank you.
Hello, hello. You're listening to Fan Club. This is CITR 101.9 FM. And I'm Isia, and I'm with...
Daniel.
The one and only Daniel.
That's true.
Sorry.
I don't know why I said that.
No, it was great. It was great. We're going to be talking about what we're looking forward to. Movie, television, music, and book-wise. And I think there is one thing that me and Daniel... If there's one thing that me and Daniel really have in common, it's our obsession and love and adoration for Succession.
Our Succession obsession.
Our Succession obsession.
And there will be like a Succession-themed episode for the premiere, I'm guessing.
Premiere and finale?
And yes.
Because it's going to be the finale.
Yeah.
Of
we
the
could
show.
Even do a little like Succession 5-minute update throughout
every week.
Every week.
I'm so down. Okay, I'm so down. But yeah, we're very much looking forward to that show. Why do you like Succession, Daniel?
Okay, to me, it's like, so all throughout high school, I feel like I had Shakespeare like pushed on me. Mm. Like all my English teachers and even some of my like classmates would be like, Shakespeare is awesome. Like Shakespeare is so influential. Shakespeare, Shakespeare, Shakespeare. And I'm like, okay, like I get it, but I feel like when I read Romeo and Juliet, when I read King Lear, when I read Macbeth, like, sure, great, I see the influence, but it's just not, like,
it's
I'm not hitting. It's not hitting. Mm. And then I watch Succession, which I feel like is very, like, Shakespearean and kind of, like, the way the dynamics are set up, where if anyone's listening and hasn't watched Succession, first, like, close the tab, turn off the radio, drive to your nearest or go to your nearest, like, television, phone, whatever, and, like, watch Succession,
phone.
Please.
Don't watch it on your phone.
Don't watch it on
it
your phone.
It deserves better.
It deserves to be watched in theaters. But
could you imagine? When is the broadcast going to happen?
It's March 26th, I want to say. So maybe if there's a way we can...
Rent a theater?
Yeah. Anyway... What was I saying? Oh, why I love Succession. Okay, so I feel like the number one reason I love Succession is because when I started watching it and started really getting into it, I was like, oh my God, I get it. Like, I get what Shakespeare was trying to do. Because, like, the dynamics are so crazy. And then, like, the writing is just really good. And I feel like one thing I'm starting to realize that I enjoy about television is when, like, the writing is really good. And it's so delicately able to balance, like, really great characterization of people that are pretty much all terrible in, like, different but also very similar ways. And then it's also just so funny. And then also somehow it's able to be, like, really skilled at being satirical in some way.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. It's one of those shows that's, like, firing on all cylinders where, like, the writing, fire. The acting, fire. Like, the cinematography.
The score,
fire. Like, all of it is just, like, so good. Like, something about HBO, like, they know how to make shows about, like, terrible rich white people. And Succession is its, like, gold star example.
Why do
you like Succession?
I like Succession for all the reasons you listed. I like Succession because it makes me... simultaneously root for, but then also be like, why are you rooting for these people? with characters and kind of a plot, not a plot line, but like kind of a theme and show that I don't think I would typically really be into.
Yeah. I usually hate shows that are like an hour.
Like, I was going to say that shows that like surround business and like industry and money.
Yeah.
Because I do think, I mean, I'm not an authority on this because I haven't watched a lot of other shows that are similar in theme, but I do think that a lot of the time people like them because they are interested in the world and they're like, wow, these people are so powerful. But like, I think right off the bat, the Succession writers just do such a good job of like painting a picture of how depraved and insecure and unqualified and just like ridiculous these people are, that
deeply unserious people,
yeah, that are at the head of this media empire. And like the first scene, you know, when Kendall's in his car and he's rapping along to a Beastie Boys song, like, I don't know, just like from that moment I knew who this man was.
Yeah,
like hyping himself rapping to a Beastie Boys song in the back of a limo, it was just so ridiculous. And I got him. I was like, oh, I know who this man is.
Yeah, very efficient character introduction.
Yeah, and I'm just like I'm just obsessed with Kendall Roy. Like, he's so...
He's him.
He's so sad. He's him. He's so sad and depressing.
I thought you were going to say sassy, and I was like, also true.
Sass King. He's just so, like... I don't know. I just feel so bad for him, but also he doesn't really deserve any better, but he's just so pathetic.
Like, that is a really good, yeah.
And Jeremy Strong does everything to perfect the acting and perfect his performance in that role. And it's awesome. I just, he's so like L to the OG. Like, he's amazing.
Some have said, I want to get your opinion on this, and this is like a very brief, small sidebar. But some people, i.e., the man who plays...
Brian Cox?
Yeah, Brian Cox.
Yeah.
Has been like, Jeremy Strong, stop this. Like, it's so... His method acting is so annoying. Like, blah, blah, blah. But I'm just kind of like, let Jeremy cook. Like, if it's working, if it's not harming anybody, let him be annoying. And if anything, I feel like those two not liking each other in real life makes for a more entertaining television program.
Yeah.
But what do you think about the whole Jeremy Strong method acting thing?
Well, I kind of get where Brian's coming from. I think a lot of actors kind of share the sentiment that method acting is annoying to be around. And I think especially if you don't need it, you're just like, just act. Like,
yeah,
it's acting. Like, you don't have to do all of this. But I don't want Jeremy to stop because it's obviously working.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's going well for him. But I don't know. I don't think Brian Cox dislikes the guy. I think he's just like, it's a bit annoying.
That's fair.
Which is fair. But I don't know. Kendall Roy is just like the most interesting character in the world to me. I don't know why.
Do you have any like predictions for season 4? Especially because this is the final season, for those who don't know.
Yeah, I think the siblings are going to team up finally, properly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't see it ending well for them, but we'll see. Maybe Logan's just gonna die finally. Yeah. But that's too easy, maybe. My prediction, Cousin Greg is taking over. Cousin Greg's gonna be
Greg,
the CEO
domination king.
Of ATN. I don't know. I want to see what happens with Tom Wamsgams. I hate Tom, but I love watching him. But yeah. He's just a little worm. He's such a little worm rat boy.
That's
but
a good description.
Him and Greg are gonna kiss, and they're gonna take over the empire together.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to happen. But yeah, Succession.
Forbidden
is just...
lovers, they will rise to the top.
Who's your favorite character?
That's also a very difficult question because I feel like it changes like literally episode to episode because they're all so like. I don't want to say chaotic because I feel like a lot of their actions are like quite measured and logical for those characters, but they're all like when Roman accidentally sends that like risque photo to his dad in the middle of like a business meeting. I was like, oh my God, King, like you're so messy. Or when like Kendall like falls to his knees when they're in like the desert or whatever in like the season 3 finale. I'm like, oh my God, Kendall.
They're in Italy.
Oh, Italy, not the desert. Sorry. So I don't know. I feel like Kendall, maybe just because he's been the one we've been following the most, but I don't know. I've also really liked what they did with Tom in season 3.
Yeah.
And it made me gain a little bit more respect for him, and it made me gain a lot of respect for the actor as well, Matthew McFadden.
Pride and Prejudice.
Pride and Prejudice, yeah. And then also Shiv, I feel like she's a very complicated character as well. So my answer to your question is all of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
Shiv, just the way she treats Tom is so treacherous. And I guess like, you know, he should just leave her, but he wants in on the company goods.
Yeah.
But she's just like, wedding night, on their wedding night, she says, can we just be in an open relationship on their wedding night?
Yeah,
that was
really
crazy.
That was messed up.
So I can't even...
Polyamorous queen.
Yeah, I can't. Ethical, non-ethical.
Non-ethical monogamy.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't. I need to stop talking about Succession because I could go on about it forever.
What else are you excited about?
I'm excited for Demon Slayer season 3. which is a great anime. It's good from the jump, but like season two really elevated in like violence and drama, and all the characters are just getting better at fighting and demon slaying. Slaying.
You would hope.
Emphasis on the slay.
Yeah.
And it's just the stakes are getting higher and it's getting more exciting and stressful and it's awesome. So I can't wait to see where it's going. And this season I think is going to focus on swordsmanship and like all of that, which is a cool angle.
Very cool.
And I forgot to mention this in our winter review, but Attack on Titan released their first finale episode, 1 hour special for the finale of the show. And it was nuts. And I was so excited because I'm like, oh, it's back. But guess what, Daniel? Guess what?
What?
Guess when they're releasing the second part of the finale?
Next year?
Fall.
Oh.
Isn't that rude?
That's really rude. What does it release on Netflix?
Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll?
Yeah, it's like the website to watch all the anime on.
So do I have time? Maybe I can catch up by the fall then.
Yes. Watch all of Attack on Titan. I think it's on Netflix as well.
Okay.
But it's so good. Literally, like, there's no need to watch superhero movies ever again if you can just watch Attack on Titan, because they have all the action and all the satisfying team-ups and all the drama of it all, but it's way more gory and real and dramatic and sad and awesome.
Ooh, can I say two other shows I'm excited
for? Yeah, of course.
I'm a little bit of a HBO stan, so I'm really excited for Barry season 4, which is also the final season. Barry, it's not looking good for him. Where we last left off, he was in deep, deep trouble with the law, so I'm really excited to see how they round it out, especially because before I started watching Barry, I was like, oh, Bill Hader is just like silly and goofy, funny boy. But in Barry, I'm like, oh my God, Bill Hader is an insane like writer, director, actor, triple threat. And the show's just insane. And I love Henry Winkler. He's just like a hug of a man. He's so sweet.
A cutie.
Yeah, he's truly adorable. And then I'm also really excited for The Righteous Gemstones, if you've ever heard of that. Season 3 is coming out sometime this spring, and it just follows like this, like it's basically like think Succession, but instead of ATN it's like a mega church, and it's like more of a comedy.
That sounds stressful.
And it's like Danny McBride and like John Goodman, and it's so funny, like honestly the funniest show ever. Well, not really, but I'm really excited for that. And yeah, not a ton of other stuff is coming to mind, because I feel like a lot of my favorite shows recently ended or were canceled. But yeah, it's looking to be a good spring for TV.
Yeah, it's giving us something to live for. You know,
truly.
Something to look forward
especially
to.
Especially since the vibrations are so low.
They're just astronomically low.
Yeah, treacherously low.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a sad end to our show today.
What's something you're looking forward to in your week or in your life so we could not end this sad?
I'm going to the Show Me the Body show tomorrow, which I'm very excited about.
That's very fun.
At the Rickshaw. And then this Friday, I'm going to the ballet for the first time.
That'll
be
fun.
Which is going to be interesting.
Do you know what the show
honestly,
is?
Honestly, I don't know anything about it. My friend just said, want to go to the ballet? And I said, okay.
That's really fun.
So I'm looking forward to that as well. That's going to be fun. How about you? Anything you're looking forward to?
It's my friend's birthday this week, so I'm really excited to celebrate with her. She's actually going to be on my show on Thursday.
Oh, fun.
And then next week, I'm really excited for Fan Club's first field trip next Wednesday.
Oh, that's next Wednesday?
I believe so.
Okay, cool.
You seem hesitant.
No, I just realized I'm going to have to miss my band practice 2 weeks in a row. But anything for a fan club, that's okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All
but
good.
No,
it's exciting. It's exciting.
It's exciting.
It's so exciting.
Isia and I are going to represent CITR at Shy Girl, who's an amazing artist. And Shy Girl's actually dropping a deluxe version of her 2022 album, Nymph, which comes out April 14th. So that should be exciting. Maybe she'll play some unreleased cuts. It's going to be at Fortune Sound Club. Should be a good time.
Woo!
Woo!
Awesome. Well, thank you to listening to Fan Club this week. Tune in every Tuesday at 2 p.m. to hear more. And have a great rest of your week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.